Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The ball is now in Russia's court. That was the clear message from the US Secretary of State Marco Rubio as he concluded talks with Ukrainian officials in the Saudi city of Jeddah. Under the deal, Ukraine has committed to supporting an immediate 30-day ceasefire if Russia does the same. So how will the Kremlin respond? Well, for his analysis, I'm joined by Senior Consulting Fellow at the Russia and Eurasia Programme of Chatham House and author of numerous books on Russia, Keir Giles. Keir, good morning.
Good morning, Claire.
Good to have you with us. So, how do you believe Vladimir Putin is likely to respond to all of this?
Well, there's every likelihood that Putin may feel he's in a position where he can put forward additional demands on top of what has already been promised to him for ending the conflict, because the leverage now is with him. The ball is in his court, as everybody is saying, but then so much has already been signed away in terms of what the long-term solution for Ukraine is going to look like, that he might feel perfectly at liberty to ask for something more, like sanctions relief or a guarantee that there won't be a long-term solution for Ukraine that involves a foreign presence to actually guarantee that ceasefire holds. So we'll see what the response is, but the incentive is now for Putin to see what else he can push for.
I'm sure you were interested to hear Donald Trump saying a few days ago, Ukraine wants to end this war because they have no choice, but for reasons only I know, Russia wants to end the war too. Can you hazard a guess as to what he meant?
Well, there's no doubt there's been plenty of back-channel communication between Trump and Putin, between Washington and Moscow. So it would be a surprise if this were unexpected by Russia. But of course, there are lots of different reasons why other analysts than Trump have been saying that Russia's time was actually running out, that the exhaustion of their economy, of their manpower, of their materiel might actually mean they had to ease off the pressure sooner rather than later. So in that respect, being handed a lifeline like this by Trump might actually be entirely too Russia's taste, but that doesn't mean that they can't ask for more for going along with it.
I see in the last few minutes that Poland has confirmed now that military aid has resumed, US military aid to Ukraine has resumed, which was very quick getting back up off the ground. Do you think Marco Rubio and the American administration is subtly shifting the US position back closer to Ukraine?
Well, that's a very big question that's come out from all of the talks that have come without direct supervision by that inner Trump court, and whether they're actually moving away from what the original intent was. It remains to be seen whether that will actually follow through with anything that's different from the Trump vision of how this was supposed to be end, and if so, how exactly the White House is going to respond to it.
It was suggested on this program yesterday that the real American aim here is to disrupt the relationship between Russia and China by moving closer to Russia. Do you think that has merit?
It has been said it's not a very plausible case, because if you look at the totality of the actions overall, it's not actually leaning towards that. There's a lot of handing to Russia what Russia is actually asking for without looking for the leverage any direction in return.
So what do you think is going on? What is behind this?
It's extremely hard to tell at the moment, because we won't see how any ceasefire will actually be built on and turned into a lasting peace. The objection, of course, to the ceasefire without any guarantee that Russia couldn't break it at any moment was simply that it pauses the fighting, gives Russia a chance to regroup without a means of deterring a resumption of the conflict. So that's the reason why Ukraine and Ukraine's neighbors were opposed to an arrangement like this. The question now is whether anybody else can move to actually put in place some way of deterring Russia in the future if they're not going to have necessarily cooperation from the US, and obviously not from Russia, because the last thing Russia wants is a permanent solution that protects Ukraine.
And Keir, this minerals deal that we've heard so much about, we are expecting that to go ahead, and Ukraine's mineral wealth is mostly concentrated in eastern areas, those areas contested by Russia. Will that inevitably pit Russian and American interests against each other?
Well, there are a lot of open questions for how the outline of this minerals arrangement, you can't really call it a deal because it's not actually exactly a two-sided bargain, how exactly it was supposed to work. There are a lot of impracticalities built into it, not least the fact that, as you say, so much of this is actually currently under Russian control. But there's no reason to suspect that that is going to be an impediment to it being used as leverage once again to move Ukraine towards where the United States wants it to be, and coincidentally, where Russia, of course, wants it to be.
I know you've written extensively about Vladimir Putin's various attempts to undermine the West. I mean, if he sees that his aggression in Ukraine is rewarded, what do you anticipate him doing next?
Well, it's not just me that's anticipating it, but looking across the whole of not just Europe, but the whole of NATO, intelligence chiefs, defense chiefs, ministers of defense, the assessment has been absolutely consistent that given success in Ukraine, Russia would look for the next target. And Putin stated very clearly his ambition to revise what he calls the historic and strategic mistakes that laid down the lines on the map that we see in Eastern Europe today. And that's the reason why the other frontline states are so determined to support Ukraine, because they see Ukraine as protecting them as the next in line.
Mm-hmm. Keir, thank you very much for being with us today. Keir Giles is author of Russia's War on Everybody. Coming up later in the show, as I mentioned, we'll have Ireland's latest gold medal winning star, Sarah Healy, who'll tell us about her incredible success at the European Indoor Championships. But next, the growth of the Irish language, thanks to NECAP.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.